Thank the Lord to be here today. Thank the Lord for his blessings. And just thankful that we have the privilege to meet in this place. So before we begin message, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we never want to fail, and pray you help us to always stop and acknowledge you when we come to this place, dear God. That it is your Spirit that gives your word to us in a way that we can receive it as we need to. And it's even your Spirit that helps us to receive it, God. So help us to open up our ears, open up our eyes spiritually this morning and receive what you have for us, dear God, we pray. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to talk a little bit this morning about listening. And a little bit about listening, but ultimately what we're concerned with this morning is that we're listening to God. It seems, and honestly, I don't sit here and have a track of messages, but it seems like this is a thought that God has just not been letting get away from me. In one way or another, he brings me back to lately. And so we really need him to help us this morning to share it the way he wants us to. And we don't want to speak anything of ourselves. I want to think about listening levels to start with here. And I may have missed something here, but I think there's basically five different levels of listening that we employ. And most things can fall into one of these categories, I think. The first one is just a big circle with a line through it. Just basically not listening at all. This is when we've got, I know people have AirPods here, and it's not a thing against AirPods. I have nothing against them. I think that's a great invention. But it's like we got both AirPods in and got the silencers on, and we're not hearing anything. That's probably the first level of listening, which is really not listening at all. The second level is where we hear words. Got a word, got a word, got a word, got a word. But really we haven't put any, I would say, brain juice to it. There's been that, we've got words. There's no cohesiveness. We haven't put the thing together that's been said. We just know that these words were said and, okay, so I heard that. So that's kind of the second level of listening. Then a third level would be where we hear these words and we actually form them together in a cohesive sentence, and it looks like, a sentence. Like we actually have a connection there. We put a little bit of thought to it to get the entirety maybe of what was said. But then there's a fourth level where we hear, we get these words, and then we connect them together and we have the sentences. And then we actually assess what was just said to us. And right here, we begin to actually compute some things, maybe, and bring things in our brain. We're assessing it for accuracy. Okay, this is the sentence I just got. Okay, is this what was really said? Yes, this is what was said. Okay. All right, so this is that sentence. This is what they just said to me. But then there's another level past that, and really, honestly, this morning as we talk about listening to God, we're mentioning all these other levels because we want to make sure that we don't participate in this manner with the Lord. All right? We want to go all the way to what I would say this morning anyways, the way we're talking about the fifth level of listening, where we hear the words, we connect them to where we have a sentence, we assess it for accuracy, and then we think about it. We actually think about, okay, now, what does this mean? What does this mean to me? Why was this just said? What was the purpose behind this? So we begin to actually ponder those things. So we hear, we connect, we assess, and we ponder. Think about the verse where it says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. That's such a profound verse. Mary was to the point of listening, of taking things in that we need to be in with God at all times. Truthfully, we should do this with everyone, but let's get it right with God first, for sure, all right? When we're listening to God, let's make sure we're all the way to that point where we're pondering what was said and considering what it means to us. Why was it said to us? Why did the Lord say this? You know, so many times I think we read things in the Bible and we don't think about why did God say this? Why did he say it? Most of the time it's because there's something in me that needs to hear this. God didn't say this just to make profound statements and all this. He said what he said because there's something in me that really needs to consider it and realize that it applies to my life. Now, it applies to me when I'm young and it applies to me when I'm old. There's not a point where I stop listening in this manner to the Lord. I need to practice this at all times. Hebrews, this is actually a verse. When we got together on Friday night with the children, we actually used these two verses. So I know probably they could quote them by heart, but I won't make them do it this morning. But Hebrews 1, the first verse and the second verse says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And we're going to read some more verses here, but the first few chapters, couple of chapters here in Hebrews, almost exclusively just deals with the fact that God spake to us and we need to be listening. All right? It's so, you know, Jesus is the way, he was the sacrifice, and we want to take all that in. But we also want to take in that he spoke to us. And there was a reason why he spoke to us. That we need to take that in and consider it. And the next probably 3 through 14, well, the rest of the first chapter kind of stops for a minute and just talks about who Jesus was. And I'm not going to read all that section, but if you were to read through it, it'll relate to us how that this is not just, you know, it's important all down through the ages, but now Christ himself has come and spoken to us. And this is the Son. This is, we say the Son, what does that mean? This is the one who all of eternity, all of this world, all of time, all of everything pivots around this person and who they were and what they did and what they said when they were here on earth. So if you get to where what I'm trying to point to here is that he was not just the sacrifice for us, but he was someone who every word that proceedeth out of his mouth is our life. This morning, if Lord help me to really take that in, because to not take it in, to not give it that place in my life means that I'm at the very least struggling to live. Physically? No, you're going to go in and live physically and what will happen will happen and the Lord has a place in that. But spiritually, your physical life, I can show you what your physical life is going to be. If I had a pile of dust somewhere around here, I could pick up in there and just drop. That's what your physical life is. If that's what's most important, then go on not paying too much attention to who God is. That's fine. Just go on if that's what's most important. But if you think there's something more important, and I will tell you this morning there is, then take this in this morning. If you're listening to anything, this is who you need to be listening to. And this 3rd through the 14th verse is trying to make that point to us. Even if an angel was to say something different than Christ, who would I listen to? The Lord has come, the Lord has spoken, and we have his word. And he is using it today to continue to speak to us. But there are 5 different levels of listening, y'all. And if I got the ear pods in and they're on silent, then I'm not hearing it. And if I'm just snatching a word here and a word here, and I don't mean a verse here One of the greatest ways to listen to the Lord is to get a verse for the day and to really ponder it, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if I'm just grabbing a word here and grabbing a word here, if I'm even just fitting them into sentences, y'all, if I'm coming short of looking at that, assessing it for accuracy, and then pondering it in my heart, then I'm falling short of giving it the place it needs in my life. And if I'm doing that this morning, be encouraged in what you're doing. Keep it up. There isn't anything in life that matters more than this. All right? It will lead you to do everything you need to do in life, to be a responsible person who takes care of life. But without it, you could still be this, but all you got's a pile of dust. Pick up a pile of dirt and drop it, and that's what you got. It says in the second chapter in the first verse, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, I've heard that, I've heard how to slide into second base. I love baseball. That was one sport I just was never really clicked, but I still loved it. I've learned how to shoot a basketball. I've learned how to use post hole diggers. I've learned how to, trim a tree. I've learned a lot of things that have a place in my life, and I'm glad that I know those things. But if somehow one day I forget, this just came to mind. There's a baseball player called Steve Sachs, who's one of the greatest second basemen for a period of time, played for the Dodgers. He was incredible. He was great. And then he forgot how to throw the first base. I mean, it just left him. That was pretty hard. I mean, it was hard for him, no doubt. I don't know, Steve, I haven't spoken to him, but I can just imagine that was a pretty difficult thing to go through for him. You know what? He'll be all right. That's not going to change what eternity is for him necessarily. It honestly could change it for positive. But these things we're hearing from the Lord, they matter for eternity. They're not things that we need to let slip in our life. They're not things that we need to say, well, I'm going to give as much attention to this as I possibly can, but I've got other things I've got to do at the same time. So we're going to just try to keep them all going together. And I don't want to lose this, meaning, the spiritual things, the things the Lord's saying to me. I don't want to lose them, but I've got to manage to carry them in the midst of all this. And we'll carry what we can carry of both of these things through life together. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to carry both as best we can. You know, the word that say carry it as best you can, it says to guard these things lest they slip. Don't lose them. If you end up losing a few things over here, it's going to be okay on the physical side of life. If you end up losing a few things, it's going to be all right. But if you lose what you've got over here, your soul is in danger, because God didn't waste time telling you things that don't matter, that don't have an effect on you, that don't have an effect on your future. God doesn't waste time. I've never seen anywhere in the Word where He tells us that. I've never seen any way where in the Word or in experience where He does that. He doesn't waste time. If there's something He's given you, it's important to your spiritual, to your eternal life. This is what you can't let slip. So as you go through life, make sure we're keeping these things in that kind of a place. And then what I can bring along with it, that'll be fine. Because He said He would add whatever. If I put Him first, He would add whatever I needed to it. So if something slips, then God must have seen I didn't need it in life, no matter how important it seems to me. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It goes on and says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So consider, you know, if somebody comes along and tells you that they know how to build a building, like, okay, well, you might give them an ear a little bit, but you're gonna be kind of like, let's see if you know what you're talking about. But if you're standing beside somebody who builds a building, and you see it go through earthquakes and tornadoes and monsoons, and when it gets through all those things, it still stands. And you're like, okay, you know what I want to do? I want to hear what you have to say about building this building. I want to know what you think about it. All right, I want to know what you would do. All right? It's one thing to be asked to listen to God if he's never demonstrated who he is to you in your life, or to you in the stories that have been passed down to you. But we have witnesses from the Bible, from back in the times of the prophets. We have witnesses of Jesus himself. We have witnesses of apostles. And we have witnesses in our life if we open our eyes and we open our ears and we listen and we hear. We have people who have shared things. We have experiences that God would give to us in our life that we can point back to. And we can say, you know what, the Lord witnessed. I don't know maybe where he is right now. Job said that. He said, I don't know where God is. I look on my right, I look on my left, I look before me, I look behind me. He actually says, I look on my left where he does work, but I can't see him. So, I mean, it's times that we're not saying, well, we see him right here, or we see the evidence right here. But we have times, we have things, if we'll not let them slip, that God has done things for us and for those around us. We have a witness of who God is. He's not just asking us to believe him because he's saying things. Imagine if we had all this word and there was no stories of how God did things from the beginning of time until now. That we had no stories. That would really be a lot of faith. That would be a leap of faith. But the Lord has given us a witness to who he is, to what he does, to the fact that his word is true. You know, if you've experienced salvation this morning, then you have a witness that's beyond anything. And of all things, you need to not let go of that and remembering what happened when that moment came into your life. Now, we all have a different story, and all of our stories is not the same. But that's okay, because God would give us all our own story to point to in our life of who he is, to witness that his word is true and that we need to take hold of it, that we need to be earnest with it and not let it slip. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So this morning we have a level of hearing here that's happening. But it's not enough. You know, what we said was the different levels of listening. You know, until you at least get to level 4, but really level 5, hearing, connecting, assessing, and pondering, then you can sit and the word of God can go out with it. And we will say, well, you didn't give me a chance. Yes, I did. It went out. Didn't give these people a chance. Yes, we did. Yes, the Lord did. It went out. It was there. It was preached. So that's not the chance. I mean, that is the chance. But that's not enough to make the chance into what it's supposed to be in our life. The responsibility lies with us in the way we're listening to the opportunity we have. All right? Do we have the AirPods in again? Are we just grabbing words? or are we assessing it and pondering on it? Because that's the point where faith can begin to take hold. Faith can't take hold if we're not listening. What's it going to take hold of? A couple of words floating around? A sentence that we hadn't really even thought about what it meant? It don't have anything to take hold of if we're not listening. Oh, but you didn't give me a chance. You might say to the Lord, yes, I did. It was there. I was giving it to you every single day. I don't believe there's a day that the Lord would not speak to us in some way. Lord, help me. And you know, this is not as though I were perfect, so to speak, like Paul said that one time. This is something we all have to put the effort into this morning. But the Lord is there, giving us a chance every day to hear what we need to let our faith grow. Is your faith growing this morning? If it's not, are you listening? Just be honest. I'm not in front of me. Just be honest. Am I giving the Lord time? Am I pondering? Am I putting the sentences together? Am I looking at them for accuracy? Did I hear correctly? Let me read it again. Let me think about what I feel like you're stirring in my heart. Does it match up? And let me think about what maybe you're trying to do, Lord. Let me give you space to move in my life. Here's where faith can begin to grow. It can't grow till we're giving the Lord that kind of space in our life. All right? You think about Samuel. This story is, I don't know that we'll read all of it, but it's over here in 1 Samuel, the third chapter. And pretty much the 1st through the 10th verse. Let's go ahead and just read this and remind ourselves of the story. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no abomination. So get a hold of Samuel being active, of Samuel having a good heart, of Samuel being led to do what he was supposed to do, what he knew was in front of him to do. Okay, get a hold of that. That's who Samuel is right here. All right, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. So Samuel was, again, being faithful and doing what was to do before him in the midst of a time where others were letting things slide. So Samuel, that's where Samuel was. And so Samuel laid down to sleep, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." He said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again to Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went down and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And then the Lord gave him the message. I need the Lord to help me here. Samuel was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was in a place where people were letting things slip. And the Lord came calling to him. But until he made the space for the Lord to speak, even though he didn't have bad intentions, but until he stopped and to listen, the Lord didn't give him the message. He didn't get the message. The Lord didn't say, "Hey, wait, come back here." And you can read it that all you want. My point is, that Samuel was doing everything right and still had to listen to God. Still had to sit there and say, "Lord," address that it was him that was speaking and that he was responsible personally, that he wasn't going to be able to go through Eli and say, "Eli, I think God's speaking to me. Will you tell me what he's saying?" That he was personally responsible for the message that the Lord was going to give. That the Lord was not satisfied for Eli to listen and Eli to give the message to Samuel. He needed Samuel listening for Samuel to be able to take the next step in his life to go into what he was supposed to do and what he was called to do. Samuel had to listen. Samuel had to make space, had to be willing to hear what the Lord was saying in his life. You know, wherever we are personally responsible for making space for God to speak to us in our life. Sometimes we, and I'm not going to say an age. I'm going to say at any of our stages, we can almost expect God to hit us over the head if he's really got something to say to us. But he didn't do that to Samuel. Even though Samuel was doing everything else right, he just kept speaking until Samuel finally said, "Here am I. What do you want to say to me, God? Help me to listen." You know, this morning, the beginning of listening, the way we're supposed to, that's where faith can begin to happen. It said that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The listening came first. And then the message, the faith, all the things that Samuel did. He was one of the greatest prophets, greatest workers of the Lord. It all started with him listening to God. And that's how it continues in our life as well. We have a song, 284. I wanted to look at one of the verses there. It says, upon the second verse, upon the troubled, restless wave, his fearful, trembling ones to save, the master walked and calmed the sea, the wildly tossing Galilee. By faith, again, I hear his voice in tones which make my heart rejoice. When fears my soul with terror thrill, he gently whispers, "Peace, be still." You know, your faith is tied up in your listening this morning. By faith, again, I hear his voice. It starts the process for us, that willingness to hear what God's saying. To hear him, like Saul, when he finally heard the Lord. And he was pricking his heart the whole time. But it started when he finally stopped and said, "Lord, who are you?" You hear what he said in that moment. He said, "Lord, I'm finally listening to you. Lord, I'm going to hear what you have to say. I'm going to listen to you. It's not me anymore doing what I think is right. Me anymore just handling my life. Me just going on through here and trying to carry both these things the best I can. But Lord, this is what matters. Lord, this is what matters the most. If I miss out on something over here, it's going to be okay. But it's not going to be okay to miss out on something over here, Lord. So Lord, help me to listen. Help me to hear what you're saying to me." You know, Ezekiel 37, this is the story of the dry bones. And I don't know who all of us know this story. I think it's a pretty common story. But I want to look at something here. 37th chapter, and we'll be looking at the first few verses here. If you don't know the story of the dry bones, there was a bunch of dry bones in a valley. And basically God asked Ezekiel, can they live? And in the end, they did. They rose up as a great army and went forth to conquer. But I want to take us to the start of this and just look at this a minute here. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." All right? Hear the word of the Lord. Do you know? It's such a simple little part of the story right there. But yet, it was included. Yet, it was paramount. It wasn't Samuel. Ezekiel, say these words and watch these bones jump up. It says, Samuel, say this. Say to these bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know, this morning, what happened as a result of that in the story here is that a mighty army rose from those bones and went forth conquering. Do you know this morning, that's what God wants to be in your life, in my life? He doesn't want to be a valley full of dry bones. There's no intention for that. And you know, so many times we get into those kind of places, and as humans, not a charge against anyone here, but as humans, we want to lay the blame at God's feet somehow, that he's just making me go through this place in my life, and he's just making me suffer like this. Maybe that's God's will. Maybe there's a purpose for it. But are you listening? Maybe sometimes it's I'm not listening to God and listening to what he's saying. Not maybe I'm putting sentences together, but I'm not pondering them in my life. I'm not considering what they mean. I'm not considering what God is trying to say to me. Again, not a charge on anyone here, but just to us as humans. Why would I be a Christian and there be no change in my life? How does that work? We don't believe God just prints us as Christ the minute we're saved, do we? I don't believe that. I don't believe the Word teaches that. I believe he saves us and delivers us from sin, but I don't believe we're the perfect example of who Christ is in every way. How would we as Christians just not change? Just be who we are from that point on then for the rest of our life? How would there not be changes in us? How would there not be growth in our patience, in our temperance, in our joy, in our service? How would there not be those things? This is just what God's put on my heart. Maybe I'm the only one here that needs to hear this morning. I don't think God sees like that. I think we all need to consider this morning. But I'll take it that maybe I'm the only one. And you're just here supporting me this morning. But consider it. If we're Christians, if we're listening to God, there's going to be some changes in our life. There's going to be things that need to change that are revealed to us and sometimes painfully revealed to us in life. At least that's my testimony. That's what I share. It's embarrassing sometimes to realize that's me. Really, God, are you sure that's me? Please tell me that's not me. And we're just like, yeah, it's pretty much that's you. You know, you're the reference point I'm getting this information from, and this is who you are. And I mean, if you don't want to be that, then you need to listen. And here's what the issues are in your life. And here's what you need to do. Lord, help us. So there's not a better way to live life this morning than to listen to God and to ponder the things that he's talking to me about and to let him make those differences in my life, those changes, to lead me on in his path, to lead me on to the brighter day. And to give me more strength and more faith and more grace and more temperance and more joy and more opportunities for service, more opportunities to be his hand extended, more opportunities to just be what he wants me to be in life. It's worth it to listen to him. You know, I had a whole list of places here where people didn't listen to God and the way things worked out. And I don't know, I may just refer to them a little bit going through here and maybe even give them to you and you can read them later if you want to and just see how things worked out for them. It doesn't work out good when we don't listen. Deuteronomy 1 and 43, Moses is recounting how that, you know, when they came to the land of Canaan, they sent the spies in there and they came back with a bad report. And so the Lord told them, okay, you're going to go wander in the wilderness because people didn't have faith that God could conquer that. Well, they got all broken up about that. And they said, oh, okay, we'll go on in and we'll fight now. And Moses said, don't go. The Lord says, don't go, for I'm not with you. And they're like, no, we're going to go ahead and go do this thing. And they ended up getting beat. And they came back distraught. And he said, didn't I tell you not to go? Didn't I say the Lord said not to go? It didn't work out well not to listen to the Lord. You know, in 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, let's turn to that one here just a minute. Second Kings, the 17th chapter. And we'll look at the 13th verse. And this is where he's kind of, the Lord's speaking against Israel. We have the two kingdoms have already been divided. And you have Israel and you have Judah. And once again, Israel was the nation that never had a king. Never had a king that worshiped God. Worship the one true God. All right. Honestly, the king they had, well, we won't get into that this morning, but it says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes. All right, do these things. Notwithstanding, 14 verse, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And it says in the 18th verse, therefore the Lord was very angry at Israel and removed them out of his sight. For there was none left but the tribe of Judah only. So the whole nation of Israel completely removed from everything that God had prepared for them, had made for them, the promises he had made, removed from their sight simply because they wouldn't listen to him. That's where it all started. They stopped listening to God. All right? Nehemiah, the ninth chapter. Now, Nehemiah is dealing more with Judah. But Judah kind of followed down the same path. And in Nehemiah 29, it says that he testified against them, and thou mightest bring them again into thy law. You said these things to bring them back to you, yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not, which means they wouldn't listen to your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man shall do, he shall live in them. The very thing that would give you life, you failed to listen to, and it led you to throw it away. And withdrew the shoulder and hardened the neck and would not hear. Yet many years did thou forbear them and testified against them by thy spirit and thy prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the land. You know, the minute you stop listening to God, you're setting a pattern up in your life. We think, well, just for this moment, I'm really busy and I want to just go on or whatever it might be. I don't want to put too much behind why we might do that. But the minute I stop listening, I stop valuing, I stop giving earnest heed to the things that I know in the Lord and expecting that he's going to bring more to my life, the minute I stop that, I start letting something fade the importance of that in my life. That's the way I want to put it to you this morning. What was once so important has been kind of dimmed in importance in my life. I'm setting up a pattern to throw away life. That's what I'm doing. That's why it's so important not to allow that to happen in our life. They set up a pattern, and though God spoke to them year after year after year, sending prophets, they never stopped to listen. They never were willing to hearken, to give ear to that. Don't let that start at any point in your life. Whatever you're going through, whatever your struggles are, things you don't understand, just be willing to listen to God. So, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand. This seems like you're not really helping me. You know what? That's all right. If you say it to the Lord the right way, it's okay to let him know exactly how you feel. But, Lord, I'm going to keep listening until you help me sort this out in my life, until you help me know what I need to do. I'm not going to stop listening to you. Because I don't want what that brings in my life. All right? Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 and 12 says, to whom he said, this is my rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. You know, Lord help us. This is the very thing, this listening God is the very thing that will refresh us in life. We say, well, I need a vacation, or I need all the things people say they need to be able to do what they need to do in a day, to, in other words, be refreshed for this day. And you know what? The one thing that's going to truly refresh you in life is what the Lord has to say to you. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has brought me short different times without realizing it, that I have begun to think of other things that help maybe me be refreshed. And without realizing it, how they dim the importance of what truly refreshes us in our life. Listening to God, pondering the things he has to say, is where we will find the refreshing we need. Lord, help us to keep that and to value that. All right. Jeremiah 13 and 11. Jeremiah 13 and 11 says, "For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory." God had great intentions, great purpose for this people. But there's one more part to this verse. It says, "But they would not hear." We don't get all of this just because we're named by his name. We get all this because we listen to God. And if you follow what I mean there, obviously, if you're not going to listen to him, you're not really going to be named by his name. But it's important to realize where it starts in our life. Where it all starts is in our listening to God and being willing to ponder and to think about those things and allow them to have effect in our life. You know, there's another one more verse, maybe in Jeremiah 29 and 19, as far as this. We'll read a verse in closing. It says, in the 18th verse here, Jeremiah 29 and 18, it says, "And the Lord is speaking to them, and I will persecute them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord." You know, I don't have any desire for this to happen. And what I think the Lord is trying to say is it seems so, it can so insidiously take us over that we're not listening with the way we need to listen to the Lord in our life. And it can seem like we're not really missing anything for a little bit. But if we're not listening, if we're not getting to that fifth stage of listening and pondering what God has to say to us, these are the things we're setting ourselves up for in life. Lord, help us. Revelations 3 and 20. Revelations 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." This is why I say the beginning of your faith starts with listening to God. Because the Lord didn't say, "I open the door and to see if you would believe it was me." He said, "I will stand at the door and knock. And if you will open the door, I will come into him." What do you have to do to open the door? You have to hear it. You have to let it register that someone's knocking at your door, and you have to go and make the decision to open, to hear his voice and to open to him. This morning, don't let life, don't let Satan, don't let the things, the pleasures of life, don't let anything make you devalue the importance of listening to God the way we're supposed to listen to him. Because if we will hold this secure right here and we will listen to him, we will ponder the things he says and we'll follow after them, then whatever happens over here, we're going to be okay. But this is what we have to hold on. Let's give more earnest heed that we don't let this slip. You pray for me.